he was on the street with him, and he said he had him up against the wall with his hand around his neck, and he could have stopped all that problem, but he didn't kill him.
Somebody else did.
Well, he was sort of a hero early on.
I don't know, he had a nice wife, I understand, and his daughter went to Newcomb, and he was supporting LSU. And at football games, she would go over to see her father walk across the field.
Did any of your ancestors in the South own slaves before the Civil War?
No. In fact, my father was born in Mississippi, and the woman that worked for his mother was a freed slave from somebody else. And she was important in his life. He said when he would come home late at night, she was the one that waited up for him, make sure he had something to eat and so forth. But she was a freed slave, but they never owned slaves.
Okay.
And they were not the ones who freed her. She was free when she came to them.
You mentioned a grandmother who was confirmed in New York.
In Temple Emmanuel.
Temple Emmanuel.
She was born in New York City. And her name was Neubauer.
Right.
Her father was German, and her mother... I don't know who her mother was.
Are they the ones that had the artificial flower factory that burned down?
He was. He owned that, and it burned down the night before he was to have insurance, so he lost all his money. My mother said all the governess had to leave because they couldn't afford her, and so my mother could speak English again and not just German. And they moved to. He heard about a store in Waco, Texas, and he moved his whole family from New York City down to Waco, Texas. She was the seventh daughter. The eighth one was born in Waco.
That's on the other tape. Have you any idea who was the rabbi at Temple Emmanuel at that time?
In New York?
Yeah. Okay. Were any of your ancestors in the Civil War?
Yes. I think I put that in the earlier
days.
My grandfather, my paternal grandfather, my father's father. He said he didn't really go in, but he owed it to Mississippi, just like my son later owed it to the United States. He felt he owed it to Mississippi. He was living there then. And he's the one that spoke five languages, remember?
I see.
He was in the Civil War and he was captured. I think that's on
the tape. I think that's on the tape. I think so.
And they let him loose the first day, I think, when they exchanged prisoners.
I see. He's lucky also.
Even, there were two stories. One cousin, I was told that by my father, but my cousin said his father told him that my grandmother used to sew gold coins in the clothing she sent him in the prison camp, so maybe he wasn't released the first day. We don't really know. I wasn't there.
Was Andersonville mentioned at all?
You have done a great deal of research about your family background, and it's wonderful. How did you get all that information?
Well, I listened.
Yes.
And when my mother or my father would tell me things, even his mother would tell me things, he didn't listen. And I learned things about both families.
Who's he?
My husband.
Alan Bergman Esquire.
So you had an original oral history.
Isn't that fantastic? Mary, do you have any more questions?
Just unfinished. I'd like to know, Alan, whether there's any unfinished business that you feel that you have to do.
In what?
Anything. Unfinished business.
I wouldn't regard it as unfinished business. I just continue to be involved as best I can, and as I indicate to you, in community programs, whether they're Jewish or non-Jewish, and to the extent that I can carry over from the community to the national scene, I try to do that. I am still, as I indicated earlier, involved in American Jewish Committee and in the Hebrew Union College and of course in my Harvard Law School activities. I was chairperson of my class and still am, have been for many years, and involved in their fundraising and in their developing.
That was the class of 1936 graduated from law school.
I have another question.
I wanted to ask
you. You have another question?
Well, okay. I want Selma's unfinished business. Anything you want to do that you haven't done or that you...
I don't know anything special. Just want to watch my children stay healthy and well and my grandchildren and enjoy life and lead a constructive life.
Are you still traveling?
We try to. We don't take big trips. We take small trips. I still go with Alan to all his meetings, and he's going to the Bar Association meeting in San Francisco in August, and then we make a vacation around that. So I've been a tag-along for years, and I met some very interesting people at all the meetings he goes to. They're always very interesting. I'm a people person, so I enjoy
it. I know you are.
And Summer, what was your major in college?
Psychology.
You mentioned that, okay. But then you just have never...
Well, I taught nursery school when I
first before you got married. Yeah, okay.
Before I got married.
I have another question. It's a controversial question. How do you feel, that's a dumb way to begin a question, about the changes in the Jewish institutions in Pittsburgh, especially what comes to mind first is University of Pittsburgh taking over the Montefiore Hospital?
Are you addressing that question to me?
Yes.
Think so.
Yes.
And but also the Jewish Center moving, and you know, all these things. I mean, it's progress, but...
I'm a life trustee of the Montefiore Hospital Association. I'm not quite certain now of the identification. I was a life trustee of the Montefiore Hospital before it was acquired by the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center through the Presbyterian University Hospital. I'm presently a life trustee member of the healthcare, Jewish Healthcare Foundation. I'm somewhat reluctant to express my concerns about the changeover from the Montefiore Hospital, and prior to that, the changeover of the Jewish Community Center on Belfield Street. Factually, I think it's appropriate to simply say that I was concerned and continue to be concerned in the changeover or transfer or sale, however you want to describe it, first of the Belfield property, which was known as originally as a YM and WHA property, to the University of Pittsburgh, and then the second changeover of the Montefiore Hospital to the University of Pittsburgh. During my trusteeship and officership, I was a vice chairman of the Montefiore Hospital under Stanley Kam, and we'd for 25 years or more resisted the efforts by the medical center to acquire not only the Montefiore Hospital but other hospitals in the healthcare area of Pittsburgh. We wanted to maintain our independence and our autonomy. I say just factually that I was concerned and continue to feel concerned that that changeover was unfortunate, because I think the Jewish identification to not only the Jewish community but to the non-Jewish community as a medical center was important, and similarly I thought it was important to maintain the facilities which were unusual by way of location between the Mellon Institute and the Pittsburgh Board of Education on Belfield Street, with the University of Pittsburgh Cathedral of Learning as their magnificent view on the other side of Belfield Street. But that's an accomplished fact, and I frankly pleased to know that Karen Feinstein is the professional president, I think her title is president of the Jewish Healthcare Foundation, which is now the successor institution, you want to put it that way, to the Montefiore Hospital.
Are those clinics, is that what you're talking about?
Well,
walk-in clinics? It's an umbrella program, but they have neighborhood
clinics. The programs
clinics.
That the Jewish Healthcare Foundation are organizing or funding or involved with I think I'm accurate when I say are designed to provide health care support to not only the Jewish community, mm-hmm. but to the non-Jewish community of Pittsburgh.
So in some regards, there is progress.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much, both of you. It's
been
a pleasure.
Thank you. You've been very considerate.
Okay. Okay. Alan?
By way of supplementing my earlier remarks about the foundations that Selma and I have established and are functioning, I think it's appropriate to add the one that we have at the Pittsburgh Foundation that Selma and I established in memory of my parents, Hyman and Sarah Berkman. And we use the proceeds from that foundation for a variety of programs, either in the Pittsburgh community or outside the Pittsburgh community that we have interests in. And I think that fund is administered by the Pittsburgh Foundation.
Right. Now, let me ask you something about the Pittsburgh Foundation. As I see it, that is an umbrella foundation made up by foundations such as yours. Is
that
correct?
Correct.
But you still can earmark.
That is correct. The Pittsburgh Foundation is one of the largest community foundations in the country. And they administer the funds with the directions from the people or donors who have established the individual funds under the Pittsburgh Foundation administration. And periodically they will tell us what income there is available for contributions to whatever institutions or whatever programs we are interested in.
So they administer it, they do the investing?
They do the investing.
Okay, that's what I have to have clear in my head. Thank you. What else? We're going to go on and on and on. Okay. Mary, anything else?